Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to Michael Steele podcast. I'm so excited. I'm getting a slimmed and trimmed because Thanksgiving's here. I got a lot to be thankful for. I have my friends joining us this afternoon here at the Michael Steele podcast, Tom Nichols, Ellen Mistel, and Glenn Kirshner. Welcome, gentlemen, again, and thank you for that inspiring send-off to break. It was a good one. So since you raised the point, Ellie, I want to talk to you about your piece in the Nation, which I thank you. I totally got where you were going with this. The headline is "Goodbye, Joe Manchin. We won't miss you." And tell us, in your words, why we won't miss Joe Manchin, and why Democrats, at the end of the day, are better off. Because Tom, I'm coming to you next on your piece in the Atlantic, which we touched on a little bit in the beginning of our conversation. But Ellie, what's the deal with Manchin, and why do the Democrats fret so?
Democrats need to stop wetting the bed every time, you know, something goes bump in the night. And Joe Manchin retiring is a bump in the night. I get that the Democrats have a very difficult chance to hang on to the Senate. I get that you can only lose one of West Virginia, Arizona, Montana, or Ohio. You can only lose one, and Manchin not running means that one is likely going to be West Virginia. But here's the thing. Manchin was always gonna lose West Virginia. Jim Justice, the current Republican governor of West Virginia, is running for that Senate seat, and he's been whooping Manchin all up and down from Huntington to Wheeling. He's been whooping Manchin, right? So, like, there was never a chance we were gonna hang on to that seat. So, once you understand that, look at the party as a whole, and one of the things that Joe Manchin has done in his almost 15 years in the Senate is weaken almost every Democratic bill that required Joe Manchin's signature, right? He weakened the Build Back Better plan and then didn't vote for it. He refused to vote for the For the People Act, which would have restored voting rights to many Americans. He has been against every single piece of environmental legislation for 15 years. This guy has not been your friend. I agree that we needed his vote, but once you understand that we weren't going to have his votes anyway, it is better off for the Democrats to just try to win the Senate without him, because we were going to have to do it anyway. And here's my other point: to try running actual Democrats in red states as opposed to light Republicans in red states. Yeah. Is it hard? Yes, but there are victories. Andy Beshear, governor of Kentucky, right? He ran as a Democrat, a more moderate Democrat than me.
Well,
right?
Joe Shapiro, Pennsylvania. Look at Shapiro.
Shapiro ran as governor of Pennsylvania as a Democrat. I mean, moderate Democrat, but as a Democrat. John Tester in Montana runs as a Democrat, right? Not a Joe Manchin type Democrat, but a conservative, you know, Joe Biden-esque Democrat, and wins. So it's possible to win as a Democrat without suffocating the country in greenhouse emissions because you're actually a coal lobbyist running out of West Virginia. So I'm not worried about Manchin. I'm worried about holding on to the Senate. I'm not worried about Manchin going goodbye, Joe Manchin. And look, Manchin was going to lose by 20 points. You know who else could lose by 20 points? Some county commissioner from Wheeling, West Virginia, who's running on a single issue, women's reproductive rights, right? Like that abortion issue has real valence in this election, yeah. In the last election, every election since Dobbs. Run a single issue campaign on women's reproductive rights in West Virginia and have her lose by 20 points. At least she'll do it with dignity, unlike Joe Manchin.
There you are. So boom. Hey, Tom, so you wrote a piece in the Atlantic, which was an interesting, I love the title, Trump Crosses a Crucial Line. I love this paragraph. You say, I dug in my heels when Donald Trump's critics described him and his followers as fascists. Authoritarians, yes, some. Liberal, definitely. But fascism, a term coined by Benito Mussolini and now commonly used to describe Italy, Germany, and other nations in the 1930s, has a distinct meaning and denotes a form of government that is beyond undemocratic. So why now? Why do you think he is now?
Because, first of all, as I also noted in the piece, I am an insufferable pedant, which comes from, 35 years of being a college teacher. I used to teach courses on authoritarian systems and what fascism meant. And it's always griped me, not just when I was a conservative and Reaganite and all that, not just as an academic, that everything is fascism, that, Nixon's a fascist and Bush is a fascist and fascist and this and that. That word to me is radioactive. I mean, it's a really important word. And when you use it, it's like the word terrorism. Everything you don't like isn't terrorism. If you pull the string on terrorism, you're pulling the string on a lot of stuff that you're about to do that could get really ugly. So you better know what you're talking about when you use words like that. So why now? The Vermin speech, I think, really did it for mm-hmm. me. Where, it's one thing to go on, as you said earlier, Michael, we've had plenty of nativist, isolationist, America firsters. But when you're talking about your fellow citizens and saying we're going to root out these animals, these vermin within us, within our society, I think that was kind of the last piece where I said, this really is that, I am the state. The state will only be me. All power will be exercised through me, and I will target every part of this society that even remotely annoys me. Because let's face it, let's face an important reality. Donald Trump, when he went on about Marxists and communists and fascists and this and that, he doesn't understand any of those words. Mm-hmm. All of those words are a generic term meaning people that don't like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And so to classify them, to add that final step of all your fellow citizens are basically subhumans, except the people in your movement, to me really kind of put that last peg in there. And I said, be careful about calling other people fascists, because the one thing Donald Trump doesn't have, at least yet, is that disciplined and organized movement, a totalistic ideology. I mean, in a way, we're fortunate that this time around, and I say this time around because there's going to be another time, but this time around, the guy leading this wannabe fascist movement is such an idiot, is so incompetent. And frankly, he's lazy. I'm glad that nobody misunderstood me in the piece, because I said, fascists are actually pretty hardworking. Fascist leaders are pretty hardworking, courageous. Yeah. You can hate them, but they have a record, all of them, physical bravery, workaholics. Trump is none of that.
It's more than a day job. That's for sure.
And it's more than a speech in a parking lot in front of a Walmart. But I think when I finally read that, and when you start piecing together all the other stuff he wants to do with his plans for the Justice Department that, Glenn's been talking about, the military, which I'll be writing about next month in the Atlantic. You know, he is trying to put together something that is now recognizably beyond authoritarian or illiberal, and really does come sort of close to, as close to neo-fascism as we've ever seen in America, I think.
So Glenn, just to sort of round out this round robin of points, the country's sort of watched unfold before its eyes these various narratives around a number of members of the Supreme Court and their distorted sense of ethics and their distorted sense of ethical responsibility that has led to this past Monday, the Supreme Court coming out with its own code of ethics. what do you get to...
That laugh was not a good sign.
Ellie's like, yay. Happy days are here again. So, counselor, will it change anything? What do you think the purpose of them sort of putting out what pretty much everyone agrees is a milquetoast response to a very serious problem?
Yeah, it's not so much a code of ethics as it is a pamphlet of suggestions. And Michael, I actually wrote a piece too, but it's my shopping list for Thanksgiving, so you probably don't want me to read it.
Right.
so look, you know, the code of ethics is laughable. That listen, the Supreme Court justices, a certain block of them, enjoy being above the law. They enjoy, you know, getting money and trips and RVs lavished on them by billionaire donors who will undoubtedly have business before the court. And so I love when Chief Justice Roberts said, you know, we've always been hyper ethical. The people just didn't understand it. So we had to put this pamphlet out explaining just how ethical we are. So I'm glad that we were able to clear that up for you. But my favorite part is all of it is really just a suggestion. The justices should avoid, you know, financial entanglements. The justices should, not that they shall, not that they must. Well, you know what? The code of ethics should have some damn mandatory requirements in there. It should include the word shall. There should be an enforcement mechanism, and there should be punishment, penalties for violations of the code. I mean, it really is the stuff of a Saturday Night Live skit. It's just, it's absurd. And it reinforces that they love being above the law, and they're not going to do anything to knock themselves down a peg. But here is the only, I have confidence in the Supreme Court, Michael, in one regard. I think they will forever be motivated by self-preservation. And what I mean by that is I actually don't think they're going to accept review of any case or review and decide any case that will facilitate Donald Trump returning to the Oval Office. Because if they do, they will be, you know, working to install an aspiring dictator in the Oval Office. And you know, the one thing an aspiring dictator has no interest in, it's a Supreme Court. And he will do everything he can to knock them down and marginalize them. And so just as they didn't accept review of any of the election challenge cases, I don't think they're going to go with this insane absolute immunity claim or double jeopardy claim. These things, as I'm sure Ellie could tell you, are so laughable. I think they're going to let the March 4 trial, let's all cross our fingers and toes that jury selection starts on March 4. I think they're going to let the March 4 trial proceed apace. And because, you know, Donald Trump and y'all were talking about this a few minutes ago, all the nonsense he spouts about the Presidential Records Act lets me do it and I can declassify things with my mind. None of this is none of it is true, and none of it is admissible in court. So once the rules of evidence are applied to, you know, what Donald Trump actually is alleged to have done, the jury will convict him so fast it will make, you know, his head spin. And then I have enough faith in Judge Chutkan. I don't believe it's misplaced faith that she will, one, sentence him to prison, and two, will absolutely not leave him on release pending appeal. That is my hope, and that is my expectation, and I sure hope I'm not wrong in that.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, yeah. Tom and then
Glenn, can I ask you a question? Because I'm not a Supreme. By the way, I want that code of ethics. I should pay my taxes. But Glenn, you know, except for what I know as a layman about like Abe Fortas, right? I mean, it seems like Fortas was a minuscule version, got bounced for doing, you know, a tenth of this. But was the court always like this? I mean, were these guys in the modern era, were they all just doing this? And now we just know. I mean, I hope, and my sense is that the whole Fortas business says that, no, you know, in 1965, if you were doing this kind of stuff, you got called out and you had to leave. I mean, is this court just worse?
Or my speculation, and I'm looking forward to Ellie's answer to that question more than my own answer. My speculation is no, it has gotten significantly worse in the modern era, but who knows? We don't know what we don't know. So maybe, you know, this kind of grift and conflict of interest has been going on all along, but they were just either better at keeping it hid, or the press was a little bit kinder and gentler and gave the ruling class criminals the leeway that some people thought they deserved.
It depends, Tom, on what you're talking about this, like what the this is. If you're talking
like the
about
Thomas stuff,
right? Like, so if you're talking about a Nazi memorabilia collector buying your mama's house, that's just Clarence. That's a special kind of corrupt that Clarence Thomas is showing us today. But if you're talking about the softer peddling of influence, right? The I'm gonna go take a trip. I'm a rich person. I'm gonna take a trip with this rich person. Maybe we'll talk about the tax code. Who can tell? We're fishing. That's been happening forever, right? That's and this ethics code, to the extent that it is a code, doesn't prevent any of that from happening going forward. Abe Fortas, who you bring up, remember, the only way to remove a Supreme Court justice is through the constitutional powers of impeachment, just like the president, just like any federal official. And that's what Abe was looking at. Yeah. Abe left because Abe was about to get his ass impeached by Congress, right? And still today, the only way to rein in the Supreme Court is through the constitutional impeachment process that starts in Congress and has to be voted on by two-thirds of the Senate. And you can tell the justices, especially in the wake of Trump getting off twice, you can tell the justices are just simply not concerned that Congress.
But I mean, there was shame. There was the guardrail of shame at some point. I mean, this is Trump's real innovation in politics. So he's completely excised the role of shame or you know, shunning or self-awareness out of politics. But I just have to believe that there was a time when, you know, besides the threat of impeachment, that there were guys sitting on the Supreme Court saying, you know, if this guy buys my mom's house, this is going to look bad.
I think that's right. I think that the Supreme Court used to be motivated by a sense of change, shame. But you also have to remember the Supreme Court used to not think that it had the right to do any of this stuff in terms of its political machinations within our polity, right? The Supreme Court used to be far more, dare I say, and this will be the second William Buckley frickin' reference of the podcast, dare I say, more restrained. Right? Like used to be what the Supreme Court was about. It's really only since, I would argue, 2000s, only since the Supreme Court picked the president that they felt quite so emboldened to meddle in our politics. And that's where I was kind of slightly disagreeing with what Glenn said. I completely agree with Glenn that I do not think the Supreme Court will meddle in the Trump trials. But where I worry is that, look, the Supreme Court was very strong against the first coup, right? Because it's very hard to throw away votes that have been counted. But as I just brought up with Bush v. Gore, the Supreme Court has already in the past decided that some votes shouldn't be counted at all. And if the second coup, if it's not a clown coup, if they're thinking about it better this time, where I worry is how Trump and his comrades will try to stop votes from being counted at all, and what this Supreme Court says about that. That's where I don't have a lot of confidence in this court.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, Give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
Is it just me, or have we all lost our minds? It's a question more and more people are asking themselves, afraid to admit they already know the answer. It's also a podcast, one about people coming together in a time of division and uncertainty to talk about culture and politics, compromise and connections. It's about challenging the norms we've come to accept as a society and working together to find common ground. Fierce and Unfiltered, host Jennifer Horn is a former Republican strategist and party leader turned independent sanity activist. One way or another, we've all lost our minds. Join Jennifer Horn in the search to find them again.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.